Let's get Goblin. He's there.
Here. Eric. Garrick, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, Eric, I scored the Dallas finals today.
I saw that. Brutal.
That was so painful.
You call that Coop?
Seriously. Seriously. I don't know. There was a Coop tournament going on, and then we just decided to stop playing.
There. I liked it. I like at some point through midway through the game, everybody basically says, well, we stopped throwing 8 meters.
Yeah, we just decided we don't do that anymore. We're like, we're sort of like the opposite of vampires. Like, we just don't play after dark. We just can't. Yeah, I don't. It was just nasty. If you look, I think what is it? Cole and or no, Anders and Sean open up with 8 meters consecutively at first two throws, and then that's it.
And it wasn't just you guys; it was six pack too.
Yeah,
old streak.
The overall throw stats for that were very much in line with like a recreational game. Most tournament games, particularly at the end of the bracket, are like a 60-65% throw rate according to the data that we have so far. And that was what 30. It was like 35. It was about what you'd have at a friendly.
Yeesh. Well, and I think that's kind of what it's sort of a nightmare for an organizer. Now, luckily with Dallas, I mean, it was cold and a lot of people had gone home. It wasn't like the national finals where, you know, you had 200 people packed around the pitch.
But it was also six person. So those are the first six person.
Yeah.
Aside from some games in Sweden, those are some of the first six-person games we scored, and maybe that's more in line with the stats for a six-person game.
I hope maybe if that. Hopefully, if that makes us it bails us out a little bit. No, you know, I don't know. That definitely wasn't indicative of this, some of the play I'd seen throughout the day, though. You know, I'd seen teams really take it at other teams pretty hard, and I don't know what the deal was once you get over the lights. Now, I mean, the conditions are a little bit different, but I mean, both teams were playing on it, so that's not really an excuse, you know. So
maybe on a more positive note, I also scored some of the Lopit games.
Okay,
and you know, I don't remember snow at this year's Lopit, yet there was snow.
Yes,
for the games I was scoring.
Yep. The final four got moved over to the finish line for all the races. I don't know if you saw, depending on which way you guys came into the tournament that day, some teams had kind of taken the shortcut through the parking lot. The other teams that had gotten shuttled in into the park.
Or gotten lost for about a half hour.
Yeah, yeah, that made up a good percentage of teams too. Those teams... If you came in through the chalet, you walked right past this big sort of finish line. You see the kind of, you know, structure there. So we moved over there for the semifinals and the finals.
Okay.
And which kind of created a cool thing. They brought in these lanterns, kind of like these jumbo kind of Coleman lanterns.
I saw five or six with one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And one was broken. So I just walked around with it. It made me look cool. it was cool. I mean, on the snow, I mean, the light bounced off of it. So, I mean, there's plenty, even the cameras could kind of pick up a lot of the action, even with just those five lights. It's definitely a cool touch. I'm looking forward to that again this year out on the lake.
Absolutely. And I didn't see a whole lot. I mean, it's been months and I'm sure we've all gotten a whole lot better at incasting, but I saw a little bit of sliding. This is the games between the Coop Snipers and Sweden Sons.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of sliding on the incast on the coops getting thrown in, but yeah, it looks like they were the snow actually is a lot stickier than I expected.
Yeah, it certainly was that day there too, because that was part of that was artificial snow and it had been packed down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then once it had been walked on a little bit, it was packed down. So yeah, I mean, you really could. You could get a pretty good drill, I'd say, even maybe better than you could on the grass that day. I mean, obviously it was so unusually warm that day when we were playing out on the round robin and the first knockout games. Those were all on grass, but I mean, it was kind of a combination of frozen grass, mud. It was pretty brutal terrain. I know I talked to Josh Feathers and he was certainly having trouble with his drill too. But then yeah, once you get on the snow, I mean, I think even a little bit, they were kind of little holes starting to develop too, where you could just kind of chuck your cube in there and it would kind of land in there.
You know, I've seen Josh Feathers goes out before each game, and mm-hmm. he makes a little hole. in the pitch. I've seen him.
Is that right?
You know, he doesn't. But you know what I have seen him do? Have you ever seen him do this? He'll be down on his hands and knees, and he's in there, and he fluffs it. He fluffs the grass right in that right in the basket.
Okay.
Fluffs the grass, and he gets any twigs out of the way, and gets the grass all nice and perky, and then...
Why not, man? The master, he's got to get his tools right.
That's
right.
I need a beer. I don't know if other people have a beer. Do you have a beer, Garrick?
Yeah, of course. I had poured the beer before I even got the mic set up.
We are podcasting, after all. Right. I'm going to grab my beer, and I'll be right back. Well, hey, this is Open Loop. Hey, Garrick, you know what this is? Number
What's
six.
This
is number six. Yep. Lucky number six. Oh, wait. It's actually number seven because we started at zero, remember?
At zero.
We're kind of technical like that. And this is a really special Open Loop. And not just because I'm drinking a fruity beer, which I am.
Fruity? Yeah. Like a Sam Adams cherry wheat?
No, like a New Glarus, the Serendipity.
The strawberry rhubarb cherry.
No, not strawberries. It's not cranberries. Cranberries, yeah. Apples, and cherries. Because the cherry crop in Wisconsin didn't make it. Too dry. No cherries. So... New Glarus bought every cherry in Wisconsin, and then they added cranberries, and they made this beer instead. It's quite good. You know, I'm a fan of that of their New Belgian Red. And
yes.
And I'm fine saying that. I'm fine with that. You think what you will, but I like it. I know that a lot of people would say no fruit in their beer, but I have no problem with it, especially in the fall. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking my buckwheat honey saison, which is really not so much a saison.
But I was going to say, isn't a saison really a summer beer?
Yeah, fall harvest. I mean, you gotta give your farm, your harvest worker something to drink.
So you give them a saison.
You give them a saison.
Oh. Are you liking it?
It's a little too sweet for style. I blame the honey.
I bet it's not as sweet as my Serendipity.
It's got a much sweeter finish.
Really?
Yeah. The tartness of that Serendipity really stuck with me, and this has a much more balanced, almost sweet finish.
Yeah, the Serendipity, when you drink it, it makes you go like that.
Yeah, like that. Eric, are you enjoying anything?
I'm enjoying listening to you guys because I can't.
You're dry.
I had my four wisdom teeth taken out on Friday.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
So I'm I'm enjoying this little microbrew called Pfizer that provides me with.
I didn't know that was a microbrew. I thought that was more kind
killers.
Of a.
Fair enough.
Hey, this is the perfect time to have you on a podcast.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So today we have Eric Goplin with us, which is kind of this. It's a different thing. I don't know if we'll do this much. Eric's joining us, and Eric is the guy who puts together Minnesota Cube and organizes the Loppet tournament, which was the very first tournament that the Cube Chucks ever went to and was awesome, and will be back again this year.
Absolutely. First, you guys are the first team to register.
That's right. Yeah. Before it opened.
That's right.
So we're hacking it all.
That's right.
We got plans, Eric. We got plans to move up the bracket this year, so we got to start early.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see where you guys go this year.
The bracket's all just based on when you register, right?
You're works. A1. You just have the number one seed.
Good. All right. Just want to make sure. This year, the Loppet is. This is the third year, right?
This is the second year we're officially part of the Loppet. This is our third, Minnesota Cube's third winter tournament. I guess you could technically say our fourth, but it's really our third like big tournament that we've actually had teams come in from out of state and taken pre-registration. And we've doubled every year, so 16, 32, and then this year we're shooting for the moon here with 64. I don't know if that's...
No. We're going to fill all 64 slots.
I hope so. You guys are definitely helping.
We're going to, if I have to sign up every cousin I know,
I'll put them in your group.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's the second year as actually the partnership with Elopit, and as we were talking a little bit about before, it, last year, due to weather, we were taken to Theodore Worth Park, which was a fun place to do it, but this year, we're the plan is to be back out on a lake, on Lake Calhoun, do it just west of Tin Fish Restaurant there, which is kind of cool. It's where the ski race will make its turn up onto Lake Street, which will be flooded with snow, which is very unique.
Dude, that's going to be awesome. I mean, so the pitches will be right in front of Tin Fish?
Yeah. Yep. Just off, there's a kind of a big kind of natural patio there, and that's where Surly will have their big beer heaven there.
So, like, that's in the summer, that's where all the sailboats are, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
32 pitches set up.
Yeah. Yep. Just right off of Tin Fish, which would be kind of cool. I think the plan is to have a the sort of championship pitch set up all day right off of Tin Fish.
That's where we'll be playing, Garrick.
That's right.
Right there.
That's right. That's where you guys will be playing at 7:30 that night.
Exactly. How many teams are signed up so far?
Right now we're at 10 teams, which
we just got started.
Pretty exciting considering it's this early.
November?
Yeah. I mean, last year I don't think we had more than five teams signed up until, you know, sometime into December. So.
And where are those states? Like all Minnesota or?
8 from Minnesota and 2 from Wisconsin.
No Iowans yet.
No, they haven't thrown their hats into the ring, but I'm eagerly anticipating their registration because it's going to be a better tournament with all those teams coming, you know, from
Definitely
Iowa, Wisconsin. And
so first, is it Lopet or Lopet? How do you say it?
It is Lopet.
So yeah, so what if there's a huge blizzard?
Like, yeah. Well, first of all, how cool would the pictures look?
It would be awesome.
There are two answers that I give people, and I tried to put together a little FAQ for people that are thinking about this tournament. And like, well, one big question is, well, what if it's really, really cold, or what if there's a huge storm? We're gonna have right out on a lake, there'll be a bunch of fire pits that people can sort of, you know, if nothing else, just run to between tosses if they have to, but you know, can kind of hang out in between games if
on the ice.
I mean, their next game, yeah, right out on the ice, we'll have this big kind of, I don't know if you guys have ever seen like the Luminary Lopet that they do.
Yep.
They kind of have these big fire pits that you think like, whoa, how does that work on the lake? But they're just up off the lake and you know, it works really well. And then obviously proximity to like the Surly tent, which keeps a lot of people warm. And, you know, so like hot chocolate and coffee and all that stuff will be right there. And then our proximity just to Uptown. So obviously where we were last year is a little bit tougher because, I mean, the closest permanent structure was probably the chalet, which was, you know, quite a ways away. You couldn't just run there between matches. But here, so we're really close to Uptown. You're close to Tin Fish, places that you can run into to get warm. And the other thing, too, is the way that we put the tournament together stresses giving people an opportunity to go get warm if it's cold and if it's snowing. Like, a lot of tournaments, you know, you just play, and if your next opponent, let's say you win and you're, you know, the next game over, that next team wins, you know, you just play. You say, okay, right. Are you guys ready? We'll play. One thing that I really stress is that games don't start early for the Lopet tournament. So if you have a game at, let's say, 1:30, just throw that out there. You know, I know the Coop Chucks like their grinders. But
yeah, we play for 2-3 hours each match.
Nice long game.
Yeah.
You roll in about 15 minutes, right? You win two games.
Yeah.
Now you sort of earn, you know, okay, my next game is at 2:30. So you can run somewhere, grab, you know, get your toes so you can feel them again at least.
Mm-hmm.
Grab your Surly and come back at 2:30 and know you haven't missed your match or no one's looking for you. To play your next match, you just know where it is and when it is. So
that's
those
smart.
Are the kind of things to really kind of make it so people, okay, yeah, even if it is really cold, we're going to still make this tournament happen, and we're still like looking out for you.
Yeah, that's smart. And so have you figured out how you're going to put the pins in the ice? In the lake?
Yeah, we're going to just drill right into the lake, you know, just slightly smaller than the pin, and just pound that sucker in. I'll use taller pins this year. They won't be just the standard small ones. And then, I mean, they'll be a little bit more permanent. I mean,
that's going to have Garrick all up in arms.
We're good.
Oh. He's so anti-pin.
Anti-pin.
And every
I am voting no on center pins and pins overall.
Okay.
But I don't have a good solution yet. We've got the boys in the lab working on it.
You don't like just the idea of a center pin?
No, all the pins. I think
he doesn't
all the
like
pins
any
are
pins.
A problem. Or largely because it's really difficult to set a coop up on a pin.
Yes, right.
And so I got the boys in the lab working on that.
Okay, yeah. I think there's some laser Lasers.
We tried the laser thing. I got the lasers. They're right here in my cabinet, and they don't. Here's the problem. I think this could be fun if we played a complete night tournament with glow in the dark batons and cubes. We could illuminate the pitch with lasers, and it would work. And they would be like just permanently there, red lasers. But if it's during the day, I got them, and during the day you can't see the light. And then I went on this laser forum on the internet, and I asked, I described what I wanted to do, and the guys there are like, yeah, you would need a laser so strong that people would have to be wearing protective eyeglasses, and it would need like fans, like you'd have to have like this fan cooling the laser. You know, it'd be like in Real Genius, like there'd be dry ice everywhere. And
really would just sort of suck the fun right out of it. Well, I don't know, like a fog.
Wait. I've got an idea. You said it'll work at night, though.
It will work at night. If for a night tournament.
There are, I believe there are in this area, 24-hour mountain bike races.
Ooh, I see where you're going here.
Leverage a coupe tournament during the night hours coincided with a 24-hour mountain bike race.
No. 24 hours a coupe.
24 hours a coupe.
The one with the most wins after 24 hours. It's just like the 24 hours of Le Mans.
Tournament directors are crying.
I think the night coupe thing is an interesting idea. I mean, I've definitely, Cole and I, when we first started playing, would play until 4 in the morning.
Right, there's that one lamp down in Painter Park, right?
Yeah, and we would just use that one until the sun came up, until the lamp would go off.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, when we first started playing, you know, it was a little bit easier.
Is that safe to be in Painter Park at 4 in the morning?
Is it? Of course it is.
You have batons. You're fine.
That's true. I've got a stick. And I can throw it.
8 meters.
Yeah, exactly 8 meters.
Aaron Elringer. He said that he painted his batons with the glow-in-the-dark paint. And because he plays, you know, Wisconsin style, they just get up at like 3 in the morning or something crazy.
Right. They play in the dark, because it's up that early.
Yeah, and he said that he painted the batons glow-in-the-dark, and it didn't really help. Like, he lights the pitch up, but he said that when the batons would go flying, it made it really easy to go find them. So,
right.
So, it definitely could be done.
I'm adding Wisconsin style to the glossary right now.
Okay, great. That means, what is it? So what's the definition of Wisconsin style?
Playing in the morning.
Playing before sunrise.
Yeah, before other coupe teams are even awake.
Yeah. How did you decide to organize a tournament?
Yeah, I think, first of all, there was kind of this natural gap between, I mean, coupe obviously was starting to take off. I mean, still is kind of in a pretty big growth stage right now in the Midwest, and there was a big gap between Dallas and Rockford or whatever that first tournament is. And I was living in a house with Jake Freeberg, and Cole was there at the time. And
honorary coupe chuck, Jake.
That's right.
We decided
that we weren't going to really stop playing just because it was winter. And it hadn't really occurred to us that we could do that, and we just did.
Which is fantastic, because I don't know if you know this, Eric, but it was the promise of proper winter coupe that compelled me through my first few months of coupe.
Okay.
Because I could imagine how awesome this game is in the snow.
Right.
And well, I have yet to actually play it in the snow. So I kind am of still... Yeah.
Oh, right. Because we had right. Well, last year we played on grass at the Lopit, and it was really kind of a weak winter. Well, the joke we kind of have at Minnesota Coupe is that, like, hey, did you know you could even play this game in the summer too? Like, you can play this game on grass if you want to, if you're really dedicated to the game.
You know what I've heard?
Hot out.
I've heard of people playing it on the beach.
I've actually never done beach coupe. That's one. I've played it in like a blizzard. I've played through hail. I've never played on the beach, though.
That's actually an objective of mine, to never play it on a beach.
You got to really work the accuracy.
I just don't like, you know, the too hot.
I don't like the bikinis.
Yeah. It'd be distracting.
I usually wear a pretty distracting one when I play on the beach, so it's tough for my opponents.
Yeah. That and the Des Moines Shuffle, which is very distracting.
Yes, while wearing a bikini, it's very difficult for their team to focus. We kind of wanted to just play another tournament, so I kind of threw this thing together, and I really didn't know what to expect. And basically, you know, to register, you needed an email address. You needed to be able to find me on the World Wide Web and send me an email, and you were in this tournament. and we ended up getting to 16 teams, and a couple teams came from, well, actually, three or four teams came from Wisconsin. A couple teams came down from northern Minnesota to play. And
now that one was in Painter Park, right?
That was actually at Linden Hills Park. And the plan was to do it on Lake of the Isles that year. But that was the Snowmageddon year 2 years ago where the winter was just nasty. But if you remember, there was one week or two in February where it got really, really warm and Minneapolis pulled all their skating rinks off the lakes.
That's right.
And so we couldn't do it. Despite this nasty winter, we still couldn't do it on Lake of the Isles. So we did it at Linden Hills Park, which was ended up being a pretty cool spot for it. We had some lights there towards the end that were on that worked out well as the tournament went on. And Eric Anderson and Paul Mullen won that as Sweden Sons over Team McKee, which is Aaron, who plays on Wolfpack now, and his dad. They won that.
Yeah, Aaron, his local. Last name's McKee. Aaron McKee.
Yes. Right. Yep. That's right.
Do you still have the bracket from that first tournament?
I do. Eric Anderson has it, I believe.
We got
part of the trophy. Are we, you know, the trophy was like, here is some hot shot.
Here's the bracket.
Here's the bracket. Yeah.
Because right. I want to. I'm trying to collect all the brackets. This is gonna be one of my winter projects on Planet Coob.
Sure.
Is I want to historically get all of the brackets that are out there put into the wiki for, you know, archived events for those. Uh-huh. Just so that they're there and, you know, won't be lost. So,
yeah, I think that's great. Cause I think, I mean, if you look back on even like the national tournament, I was curious about a bracket like last year or 2 years ago, and I'm not sure if there's really,
well, they world. Exist, but they're like hidden away in PDFs. I mean, and the world's, the VM actually has a PDF that has its brackets, as well as round robin results going back, I think a decade.
Yeah,
and so I'm going to combine that with, because you know we've done a ton of stuff on this Planet Coob game system and scoring games and the stuff that Garrick was talking about earlier. But that's a pretty heavy way to put a win loss in. But you can also just put a bracket in, and the wiki will actually calculate win losses for teams based on where they show up in brackets.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, that way we can get more data about the win-loss record of various teams. So
the big important thing for now is registration, because at the end of the month, registration will go to $50 a team. So I kind of worked hard to keep that at 40 at least for a while. So teams that have played and can come back, there's no price increase.
So if you know, if you know you're going to play, sign up.
If you know you're going to play, sign up. And a lot of people, the Zap event registration that the Lopit handles asks for a lot of info, but really all I need is information for the captain. If you want to make up information for the second and third person, that's fine. So if people want to sign up, but they don't, you know, I've had people email me and say, do I need all this info for my teammate? No, not really. I just need to know kind of your team name, your captain's info, and you're good to go.
It's kind of weird when Garrick wanted to know my social security number.
Well, I was joking with Josh Feathers. I mean, when he wins, we got to know where to send that car. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and the taxes. I mean,
right? Yeah, that's a nightmare. So we get all that handled for you.
What do you think is going to happen? So if we play, so assuming the weather's good and we're on the Lake Cahoon, it's going to kind of neutralize the drilling, isn't it?
I'll get back to the drilling. The thing is that we have the tiebreak scenario isn't like when you come report your games or your matches at the Lopit tournament, you don't report the game won. So that's not a tiebreaker. So for example, I wouldn't say Koopchucks beat Koop Snipers 2-1. You just say we won the match. And so if you end up with a group that is, say, one team is 3-0 and the rest of the teams are 1-2 in matches,
yeah,
we wouldn't go to the game tiebreak. We were going to have this throw off, which is going to be pretty exciting.
Tell me more about
this. So at 1 o'clock after the round robin's done, right? And this didn't happen last year. I couldn't believe it, but eight groups and every group finished 3-0, 2-1, 1-2, and 0-3. I just couldn't believe it. But so instead of and so if there's that tie break between, let's say, you know, three teams that were all 1-2, all three teams will get up just like it kind of happened in Dallas. Everybody on the team will throw. You'll get six throws, just like you would a normal turn at 8 meters, and whichever team knocks down the most will get to move on.
That is so sweet. We'll
gather everybody around. It'll happen at 1 o'clock, and it'll determine for some teams if they're going to the championship bracket or if they're going to the consolation bracket.
Oh, brilliant!
We got into one this year with Sweden Suns in the semifinal, and the year before there was one in the round robin where what is the team? Rhymes with tube. A woman on that team hit. She's in this throw off. We're all gathered around, and she hits one, and it goes sideways and hits into another one. It was just like the, you know, just this super exciting thing. And I was like, I'm sold on this throw off. So there's that, which kind of is unique. And then getting back to your question about drilling, which kind of makes it unique, is that, I mean, it's going to be tough to know the conditions, especially, yeah, on the lake. We're going to try to pack the snow down a little bit. I'm definitely not going to have it completely swept off, so you're not going to be playing on like a hockey rink. The drilling could be completely up in the air, or, you know, depending on the snow, maybe it's more of that kind of wet packed snow, and then maybe drilling's easier than normal. I think it'll all just kind of depend on conditions leading right up to the weekend.
We had a Cuban coffee. Was that just no? It was the weekend before last. The ground was like a wet sponge, mm-hmm. and it made drilling so fun because the cubes just went. And they just sat there. Even I could do it.
It was kind of like a wet, foamy mattress kind of thing where it just was kind of like, yeah, it just kind of went in and...
Well, it's because the grass actually was frozen because I got there before the sun came up and they set up the pitches. And the grass was frozen. When Garrick showed up, it was just like the sun was starting to come up and then it started to... But it was still crunchy when you showed up, Garrick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then as the day went on, it got kind of... wet.
Mushy.
When weather cooperates, not if. When it cooperates. I think you'll see a lot of sliding and a lot of just kind of new people just playing around with it as it goes. I mean, even last year, or really at any tournament, you'll see that the conditions change throughout the day.
Right.
Where things dry out in the summer months. But yeah, who knows what'll happen
now
halfway through the day.
Now Jake Freeberg had posted on Ask Planet Cuba about making Ice Kings.
Yes,
is that still in the thoughts? Or
yes, it is. Well, the goal here kind of is to have this championship pitch set up all day, right in front of Tin Fish, right off of Tin Fish. So there's kind of that balcony I was talking about, and if people get over there or have been there, once they get there, we'll kind of be able to understand how it works. It sort of makes for this kind of really nice natural overlook onto the lake, which will work perfect for the tournament. And we'll have this championship pitch set up there. I'm thinking it'll be a painted set. Painted like maybe the Minnesota Coupe colors, Lopit blue, something like that. And then the goal is to have a nice big ice king in the middle with a candle in it, so it'll look like one of the luminaries from the luminary Lopit.
Okay, cool.
So it'll kind of blend in, and I think it'd be fun to keep throughout the match, but I think by the time you get to the finals, people are going to want an actual regulation king in there and not...
it'll just be for decoration.
I think so throughout the day and that night. And I think when somebody gets down to actually winning, we can maybe substitute it in there. I'll talk to the teams that are in the final. I mean, I think it'd be really fun, honestly, if I was in the final to smash an Ice King to win the thing. But go MinnesotaCoupe.com is the way to go. Head over there, sign up. I'm trying to think if there's any big other talking points. I don't know. It's just fun. We're going to throw wood, you know, out on the lake. And if you want to convince your friends, you know, you just say we're going to go throw wooden blocks at other wooden blocks in the freezing cold, and they'll be like, yeah, of course I want to do that.
I have an idea for a tournament, but I think there should be a tournament where you have to come, you have to bring your own coupe set, okay? And you play, and when you lose the match, you have to go over and throw your set into the fire and burn it.
Yeah, you burn your coupe set.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, you burn it in effigy.
Yeah, right. That'd be very cool. I like the Dallas could potentially do that. Like it's sort of the last tournament of the year, and you kind of like get rid of all your bad king misses that you've had in the
past.
Like, just burn that away.
Eric, you're also, as well as Minnesota Coupe and all that, you're also the captain for Tad Kubler.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the captain, but I play on team Tad Kubler.
How are you not the
captain, who is? Come on.
I'm the de facto captain. I'm the captain in that Cole. I can't leave it to Cole to sign up for tournaments or miss yeah. missed the registration deadline.
Okay, all right. So you were the last guy to step backwards. So the de facto captain. And by the way, I loved reading on the Tad Cooper site, a Planet Coop site, by the way, the kind of origin story behind Tad Koobler and your trip to Nationals and all that.
Oh, yeah, totally by chance.
Which was super cool. So what's the plan for Tad Koobler this year? Kupchuk's, we're a freshman year, so all we're going to do is try to go one more round in the bracket.
Sure.
Well,
we're going to, first of all, we need to stop this trend of moving backwards. And we went, that first year we took fourth, and the next year third. And then, the year after that, we, got fifth or tied for fifth, somewhere between fifth and eighth. It's not really hard to say tied for fifth, because who knows how that would play out. But then again, same thing last year. I don't know, there's so many good teams. It's really amazing how many teams have. I often think of Coob as this thing where it's pretty easy to learn and kind of get, okay at the game. And then there's another big jump that teams take where they kind of start to learn strategy and they learn the drill and they kind of think about the way they're playing. And I feel like so many teams in the last year and a half have made that jump up to these teams that really can compete well. So I don't know. It's tough. I mean, maybe our big plan this year is just not draw knockerheads in our same quarterfinal.
Yeah, ooh, I mean, you guys played. I scored that match at Nationals, knockerheads versus Tad Koobler, and that was just a phenomenal match. I mean, it really was. So and when you look at the scoring of all the games, it wasn't the there were other good matches. No discredit to the teams, but it was some of the best play in the quarterfinals if statistically on par with the play that was going on in the final game.
Yeah, I mean there's something about those guys that really bring out the best. I mean, you're playing a team like that and you just really have to step it up on every turn, and Coob being the game that it is, if you have an off turn, it's against a team like that, it's just over.
Only takes one.
Right. You're kind of constantly under the idea that, like, okay, well, if we're not taking care of business on this round, this is it. So there's that pressure every single round. So it really starts to mount quite a bit.
That's really my biggest concern with doing all this scoring and having so much access to stats is knowing 4, 5, 6 turns ahead of time, like, oh shit, that's where we lost it right there.
Yeah. And that is kind of frustrating too when I look through the scoring. You're like, oh, that's there, it was right there. That's where that's where I knew the tournament was over. What's fun too about playing those guys in the quarterfinals, as good as they're, like, I wouldn't want to, playing them, there's no shame in losing. Those guys are super good, and those are fun guys to play against too. I mean, it's the Nationals. Everyone wants to win that game, but we were able to kind of joke around a little bit and just kind of have fun in that game too, as much pressure as there was,
Hey, I have a question. This is a question about Tad Koobler. You guys occasionally conference. What do you do for those 5 or 6 minutes?
Probably 5 or 6. Well, for that half hour. There's a good chance about 90% of that is me and Anders just giving Cole a hard time.
I'm serious. You did it in the game that we played, you guys in Nationals,
which, like, totally deserved. Like, you could have done that forever and been like, yeah.
You took Garrick's one penalty, but Coob walked back there.
That's
and
right.
Then I think you guys talked about the weather and, like, I don't know where you went last night.
And then Nicole's like, hey, guys, where should we go to eat tonight? And that was
exactly
my reference.
Right. Well, it was my bachelor party that night, so we had to work that out.
So is this a strategy? Are you icing the other team?
I don't think there's any of that intentionally. I think part of what, Cole and I love Coob, like, to the point where we're just dorks, right? And we love to talk about it, right? So, like, when he was in San Francisco in the Coast Guard and we would talk, we'd catch up, and then, like, it was just sort of like, how many minutes will go by before we start talking about Coop? Like, that's just, it was going to happen. And so we like to talk strategies before things happen. And so I think a lot of times if we're after we're done giving Cole shit, we like to talk about, okay, like this is what we've talked about. Like here's the situation we're in. Like what turn is it? What game is it? What's the strength of our opponent? What do we think that they can do or can't do? Like, or what do we think we can do or we can't do? So for example, like a penalty cube where we're going to put that down. I mean, I think it's fair to run through, okay, like if we move it up, well, maybe if this can't hit an 8 meter, maybe we do put it at 8 meters, but maybe we feel like, okay, can this team even hit 5 meters right now? Like, are they just ice cold? Are they just not feeling it? You know, or are they like feeling a lot of pressure because it's a tournament? So we might talk about that for about 30 seconds, and then, yeah, just the rest is giving Cole crap.
Well, cool, guys. Do you guys have anything else you want to cover?
I'm good. This has been fantastic.
I'm winding
Thanks
down.
A lot, guys, for having me on. I appreciate you letting me plug the little bit.
Tons of fun.